In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing Luisa and the Bread and Food of the Divine Will. We're on page 5, bottom of the page, volume 16, 10, 4, 1923. For many who do not do the divine will, it is as if my divine will did not exist. So here is the first thing that God is asking, is that we do the will of God. And what does that mean? It's to basically live the lives of a saint. The saints learned how to do the will of God. What you would do is you would pray. People say, well, what's the will of God? Is, you know, do you like to go on road one or road two? What do I do to do the will of God? And what you pray and you discern and you, get counsel, you get advice, and you choose that path. You should never choose a path just because you want to do it. It's always, because a human can't discern properly. But the church can, and when you with other people who are of one mind, one heart, one faith, when you pray, you decide what to do, and that's taking a road to the right or a road to the left. It's to begin to do the will of God, and that's the very first thing that you have to do. You have to pray and ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? This is why prayer is so important. Morning and evening prayer are necessary. Prayer throughout the day becomes your life. You are in communion with Jesus. You are in communion with God. And what happens at that point is Jesus leads you and guides you and directs you. Prayer is so essential. What the saints say, those that pray go to heaven, those that don't pray go to hell. So for those who do not do the will of God, those who are not striving to become saints, it is as if my most holy divine will did not exist. It happens as if someone had water in his room but would not drink it, or fire but he would not approach it in order to get warm, or bread but he would not eat it, in spite of the fact that he has with himself all the elements which can give life to man. By not taking them, he could die of thirst, he could die of cold, he could die of hunger. So what prayer is, it's all the elements that will give man life. Okay, it's everything that is necessary to have a good spiritual life. You know, you must pray again properly, you must eat properly, and you must sleep properly. With these three things, you will have a good spiritual life. If you don't eat, like St. Francis didn't eat, he starved himself to death, basically. He was completely malnourished. When they look at his bones today, they just said he starved himself. By the age of 33, he was completely gone. There was nothing left of him. And that's not how God wants us to live. For Francis, that's what he chose. And he said, he called his body... he called his body a donkey, basically, and he said, "Brother Ass," he said, "if I had known this is how it would end, I would have treated you much better." But he was very stern. He was very strict with himself. And when you meet good souls, holy souls, they're very, very strict. There's so many that I could talk about. The one is Father Brian. You know, he was skin and bones. And just having dinner with him one time, I said, have another, mouthful. And he says, "Why do I look like this?" And I said, "I guess you don't eat." And he goes, "Right, I don't eat." He says, I've given that up. And that he was very, very strict. He didn't starve himself to death, but he was very good. We learned in the seminary back, way back in the 60s, it was during Lent to give something up for the rest of your life. And when I heard that, I went, what? You know, I mean, I, you know, we, you know, in grammar school, you, you gave up something for Lent, but then you went back to it at the end of the Lent. But this priest got up there and he said, you give up something every year until by the time you're 80, he says, you've given everything up. And he says, and you can now give up your heartbeat. You can give up your breath. And, you know, as a kid hearing that, I'm going, holy moly, what kind of a life is this? But again, it's to mortify yourself. Again, that's a saintly life. To discipline yourself, that's a saintly life. Make sure that, you know, you're in charge of your spirit, your body. And, that's the thing that is really missing today. Everybody says, do what you want as often as you want for anybody you want. And that's not, doing the will of God. It's basically going to hell. You look at the lives of the saints, great mortification, sacrifices, great penances. During Lent, some of the saints would put a pebble in their shoe just to annoy themselves so that they would always feel that pain, and not take it out for 40 days. Leave that pebble in your shoe. Again, these are things that are completely ignored today. You don't mortify yourself. You don't do great penances. You don't do great sacrifices. When you do this, you're doing the will of God, and therefore you're beginning to understand that the divine will exists. The will of God exists. Jesus says, I'm here not to do my will, but the will of the Father. Our Lady said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. So it's here. It gives life, the spiritual life, to a man to do the will of God, to strive to become a saint. Instead of the world, the flesh, and the devil, your life is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says. He says, others take them rarely, and they are weak and sick. Others every day, and these are healthy and robust. Okay, basically those who use the means to get well, the means of life. The sacraments are, Jesus says, are medicine for us, the sacraments and the sacramentals. So the more that we are drawn to the spiritual, the better we are, the happier we are. Therefore, everything is in possession of a good. You know, everything is in the possession of God, whether the human will wants it to take it and how it wants to take it. It depending on whether it uses it, so does it receive its effects. So when you read the lives of the saints, you get an understanding of the spiritual. You get an understanding of wanting to draw closer to God. Again, it's through sacrifice, it's through penance, it's through sufferings that we get closer and closer to God. Why? Because that's what life is. Life is sacrifice. Life is suffering. Life is a trial from the moment you're born until the moment you die. And a lot of people look at life as, you know, you're here to have a good time. And that's not what life is about. Life is to get closer to God. The whole reason we're here is to get ready for eternity. And so that's the truth. And it says we're very clearly here. The human will wants it. If the human will wants it, how it wants it, depending on whether it uses it, so it does its receive its effects. These are the effects of sanctity. So is my divine will. In order to become life of the soul, the soul must make her human will disappear in God's holy divine will. Okay, so here is the beginning to understand to live in the divine will. The saints only did the will of God, okay, through sacrifice, through mortification, through the suffering that they went through. They got closer and closer to God by doing the will of God. Now Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into, live in the divine will. The divine will, he says, has to become the life of the soul. So that's the first thing. We want to study what Jesus taught Louisa so that we can have a new beginning in our soul. And those that read the volumes find that their life can never be the same. Why? Jesus is always speaking to you every day. Jesus says this is the only book that will transform a soul. It's the only book that Jesus says will bring about a new beginning. And when we strive to read every day, especially the calendar, Jesus is talking to us in a very powerful way, and we're hearing him. This is the amazing thing about this gift. It's not like any other book. The saints write about Jesus, but it's from their perspective. Louisa didn't write from her perspective. Jesus says, I'm going to dictate to you. I want you to put this down on paper. And this is what Scripture talks about. Scripture says, Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and remind you of everything that I have said. That is the book of heaven. And when we read this, when we study this, when we put this into practice, our lives are completely changed because Jesus, the Word of God, is speaking to us. These words that he dictated to Louisa, he says each word is a divine life. And as you read it over and over and over again, over a period of years, it's more spectacular than it was when you first read it. Why? Because that Word of God, Jesus Christ, speaking these words that are put down on paper, transform a soul, transmute a soul, Jesus says. So what the Lord is waiting for is he's waiting for us to begin to understand that the divine will has to become the life of the soul. The human will has to disappear in God's. So think of the drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice every day. He puts a drop of water in the chalice and he says, may we share in the divinity of Christ. That drop of water hits the wine, fuses and diffuses, and that drop of water becomes wine. It disappears. This is what God is expecting of us. The more we read, the closer we get to God, he says, the more you have to disappear. Why? It's like if you wanted to say to Jesus, I want you to reign in this room. I want you to be the Lord of this room. And you'll say, I'm going to sit in the corner. You can have the whole room, Lord, but I'm going to sit in the corner. God says, but you're still here. So you say, I'll be as small as an atom in the corner of the room, tiny as an atom, completely almost invisible. And God says, you're still there. I'm not the Lord of the whole room like you want. So we say, I want to be nothing so that you, Lord, can be everything. And then God says, good, now I will let you share in my divinity. See, that nothingness is so important. In the world today, it's you got to be somebody. You are important. You know, that's not what Jesus says to Louisa. He says, and again, this is another thing. You have to disappear in Christ. You have to be nothing. And so the divine will, then you participate in everything. You become that drop of water into the infinite ocean of love. And everything in the ocean belongs to you, Jesus says. You participate now in this eternal ocean of divine love. And that's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us. See, that's the human will says, I am important. You look at Hollywood, everybody gets trophies and awards and pats on the back. You are a star. No, it's to live in the divine will is to be nothing. I am nothing. God is everything. So you don't look on your nothingness. You look on how awesome God is, how amazing God is, how spectacular God is. Her human will must no longer exist. The human will has to disappear. Why? Jesus says, I made the universe for man, but I made the human will for God. When Adam sinned, he threw God out. He says, I'm going to be in charge of my human will, not you anymore. I'm going to do what I want. And ever since then, humanity has been in misery. And when we go to confession, this is what we confess. Blessed be Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. And God says, good. What? How do you want to live? I want to be nothing so that you, Lord, can be everything in me. And that's what Jesus is saying here. The human will must no longer exist. He says very clearly, my most holy divine will must take over in all of the soul's acts as prime act. So what happens here is we say to God, I want you to breathe in my breathing. I want you to beat in my heart beating. I want you to walk in my walking. I don't want to do anything human anymore. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. I want you, Lord, to begin to reign in me. I want you to breathe in my breathing. And Jesus takes us at our word. He says, okay, next breath you take, I'm going to breathe in your breathing. It'll seem like you're breathing, but I'm going to do it. He takes us at our word. Beat in my heart beating. That's why you do your prevening act in the morning, your actual acts throughout the day. As you continue to pray throughout the day. Again, what is prayer? It's you're in communion with God. You're talking to the Word, and the Word is responding back to you, especially when you're reading. Jesus is teaching us continuously. He's teaching us how to be peaceful, joyful, and happy, how to be that image and likeness of God coming out of the earth. You know, may your kingdom reign in me, this dust, this earth. Breathe in me that Ruah of God, that breath of God, as you breathed into Adam. So what God is asking of us, he's asking us to allow him to be the Lord of our life in every aspect as he originally planned with Adam. And when we do this, how glorious is this? How spectacular is this? So again, the prime act of God, that when God said fiat lux, everything in creation began. The prime act of God began. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, God became man. The incarnation took place. When we say fiat voluntas tua, we enter back into that prime act of God. May your kingdom reign in me, this earth, this dust on earth, as it is in heaven. So what God is waiting for is he's waiting for us to want what he wants for us, not what we want. A lot of people snap their fingers to God. I want this, I want that, give me this, give me that. Like God's their servant. To live in the divine will is to say to God, I am nothing, you are everything. Whatever you want is what I want. I want you to be the Lord. I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Master. I want you to be my King. I want you to be my God. I want you to be my all. I want nothing. I only want you. And that's one of the most beautiful things that Jesus asked Louisa. What do you want? And she says, all I want is you. That's all I want is you. He says, brava, he says to her. Good. You want what I want. I want to be your Lord. I want to be your Savior. I want to be your King. So we want to enter into this prime act of God. This is the thing that the Lord wants. He wants us to enter into that beginning, fiat lux, the beginning, let there be light, let there be man. Let man be in our image and likeness. He wants us to enter into this prime act. And he says, so it shall give itself to the soul. Okay. As you say to God, I want what you want, it will give itself to the soul. Now as water to quench your thirst with its divine and celestial waters. So it's not, your thirst is the thirst that Jesus had on the cross. Well, you know, I am thirsty. What is it? Thirsting for God the Father, thirsting for souls, thirsting that God's will be done. And what happens is it will give itself to the soul now as water with divine and celestial waters, now as fire, not only to warm but destroy what is human in her. See, it's fallen human nature that God wants to stop. He wants us to live a divine life. He doesn't want us to live in this fallen human nature. He wants us to live the perfect life that Jesus lives, the perfect human life that Jesus has, the perfect human life that the Blessed Mother has, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is what Jesus is asking. He's asking us to begin to allow this to happen. Why, it says, to rebuild in her the divine life of my most holy divine will. To rebuild in the soul what God originally planned for Adam. To go back to the womb of the Father. To begin to live the life that God originally planned. To go back to our origin. Now as food to nourish the soul. Now to make the soul strong and robust. So it's not just to be good and holy and saintly. It's not just to be a saint. It's to share in divinity. As strong and robust. As much as you choose. As much as you want. 30, 60, or 100 fold. Whatever you want. So he says, as the soul wants the divine will, the divine will gives itself to the soul as water, as celestial and divine, fire, to destroy anything that is the fallen human nature in you. The worry, the fear, the anxiety, the complaints, the negativity, the sin. This is what God wants to do. He wants to get rid of all of that so that the kingdom can be established in us. So he wants to burn that out of us. When you read the three appeals, he says that. I want everything that makes you miserable. I want to bury it. I want to drown it. And I want to destroy it by fire. He uses the three ways of destruction. Completely, completely gone. Completely annihilated. There will be nothing in you that will ever make you sad again. That's what God wants for us. We're not called to be miserable. We're not called to be worried about anything or to be afraid of anything or to be anxious about anything. He's called us to be so one with Him that we're filled with peace, joy, and happiness, that we really begin to live heaven on earth. So he says, oh, how hard it is to find a soul who surrenders all her rights. I mean, it's hard enough to find a soul that wants to live a saintly life. Through what? Through suffering and mortifications and penances. That's what a saint does. A saint longs for that. That's where prayer, fasting, penance comes about. Especially during Advent and Lent. That's why, I mean, just so that you understand, when I was growing up, we had always had the fish on Christmas Eve night. You know why? We're still fasting. It's the reason the priest wears the purple. It's a time of mortification. But because of society, right after Thanksgiving, everybody's celebrating Christmas, and they don't even go through Advent. They don't even go through prayer, penance, sacrifice. And it says how hard it is to find a soul who surrenders all her rights. I have no rights over myself. You, Lord, I belong to you. You've bought me with your precious blood. You shed every drop of your blood. I no longer belong to myself. I belong to you. That's the truth. That's scripture. How hard it is to find a soul who surrenders all her rights. How hard it is to find a soul to give my most holy divine will alone to that soul and the right to reign in that soul as God originally planned. How hard it is to find a soul. So he looks at us and he says, I'm giving you the book of heaven. I'm giving you not only to do the will of God, but to live in the will of God. And then he says, how much do you want this? I didn't give it to St. Francis. I didn't give it to St. Clair. I didn't give it to St. Thomas Aquinas. Because I didn't give them Louisa. I give you Louisa, and with Louisa is the book of heaven. And he says very clearly, can I give you the divine will alone as your right, as its right to reign in you? I mean, that's what God's waiting for. He's waiting to hear from us. So again, going back to prayer, you know, we should learn from the Echo book, basically, how to pray the way Jesus taught Louisa. And if you're upset, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, or negative, go to the letters of Louisa. Talk to Louisa. Say, Louisa, tell me what Jesus wants me to know. She's the one that owns this gift. Jesus and Mary, the life of Jesus and Mary is found in Louisa. She's the only soul. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn. There's no other saint that has this gift, because it's hers, and it's hers alone, and it's for anybody who wants it. So the more that we read, the more that we study, the more that we put this into practice, the sooner we're going to possess this gift as right to reign in us. It's that ruah of God, that's breath of God that God gave to He when He breathed into Adam. This is what God's waiting for. Almost all want to keep something of their own human will for themselves, even the saints. A lot of saints had to go to purgatory because they took pride in what they did. They built a school, built a convent, built a mission, built, you know, a church. And remember when, even with Francis, you know, the Lord said, rebuild my church. And he spent 3 years rebuilding a collapsed church. And at the end, Jesus said to him, that's not what I was talking to you about. I want you to rebuild my church. You know, and that's by doing the will of God, not building, and he misunderstood. Jesus wants us to let go of everything that we treasure. Again, we've always said that to live in the divine will, you have to go through the sacrifice of Abraham. You have to give up that which you love the most. And what we love the most is what we want, our human will. I want to do this. I want. I mean, we do it. What do you want for breakfast? What do you want? What kind of a haircut are you going to get? What kind of clothes are you going to wear? What do you want? And that all has to go. It has to be Jesus. What do you want? You could set your clothes out in the morning. You say, Jesus, tell me what you want me to wear today. And he will. It's not a game. He really wants to be in charge of what he wants to do with you. And therefore, our wants, our desires, we have to surrender. Almost everyone wants to keep something of their human will for themselves. Therefore, not reigning in them completely, my most holy divine will is not able to form its divine life in all the creatures. So what the Lord is looking for is he's looking for us to, as we read, as we study, say to Jesus, and when we read this, I don't want to keep anything of my own human will for myself anymore. I don't want that. And you have to say that to Jesus. I don't want that. Then the next line is, I want you to reign in me completely. I want your most holy divine will to form its life in me so it can begin for all mankind. See, God is waiting. He says to Louisa, I'm waiting for the souls that want this more than anything. And then I will give it to the world. And since it's not in the world yet, it's because people are not saying to Jesus, I want this more than anything. So it's really, it's up to us. Jesus said, if I have to wait centuries, I will wait centuries. That's going to be awful if he has to do that. We have to say to the Lord, let it be done as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission as Our Lady. Not my will, but your will, as Jesus said. Fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. I mean, it's to say to Jesus, I don't want my human misery reigning anymore. I don't want my human will reigning. Again, what's your human will? It's what you say when you go to confession. That is your human will. There's nothing good in it. Why? Because the human will, Jesus said to Louisa, was made for God, not for man. God was to reign in the human will. We were supposed to be in God's image and likeness. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And with this gift of the divine will, we enter into God's likeness. Volume 16, 11, 24, 19, 23. Not only was Our Lady, Mary, the Queen, Queen of Heaven and Earth, completely in order with our most holy divine will, but Our Lady made all the acts of all the creatures her own. You see why she's our mother. She's our queen. She made our acts her own. She changed all that we thought, said, and did to, in the divine will, repaired and redid everything so that everything that we have done is now right with God. Okay, what Jesus is asking of us is to be like his mother, to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So when you pray, you never pray for you, you're nothing. It's to pray in the name of every person. You kneel before God and you say, Lord, I want to pray. I want you to hear every human being pray with my voice. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I adore you. I worship you. We begin to pray the rounds. We begin to pray the way Jesus prayed, where Mary prayed. It's not to, I want, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's let it be done as you say. I want to ask for forgiveness for all my brothers and sisters, everything that I thought, said, and did, and everything they have ever thought, said, and did, and listen to all mankind say to you, Lord, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you. We want to have every human being, we want to pray in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. Again, Our Lady made all the acts of creatures her own. We do the same thing. It's not just me who's kneeling and at night saying, I'm sorry for my sins. It's in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. Let the Lord hear every human being with your voice say, I am sorry for sin. I am sorry that I've turned away from you. I'm sorry that I didn't live in your whole most holy divine will as you want. Absorbing into herself our most holy divine will, rejected by all mankind. Our Lady repaired it. Our Lady loved it. Our Lady had it, keeping it as though deposited in her virginal heart. Our Lady prepared the food of our most holy divine will for all mankind. See, we're that prayer of to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics and kindle us the fire of your love, which is the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated, and then you will renew the face of the earth through us. Do you see then with what food this most loving mother nourishes her children? Everything's being repaired. We're being healed. I keep on going back to what we read over the summer when Luisa's spiritual director stopped reading the volumes and died. And Luisa said to Jesus, if he had not stopped reading, would he still be alive? And Jesus said, yes. The divine will is healing. It's healing us spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice. The more we focus on this, the more God can have his way with us. We only have a short period of time. All of us are here. We have a short period of time on earth. And God knows when we're going to go. And he says, you got to get as much done as you possibly can while you're here. Because I don't want you to do everything in heaven. I want you to start here. So by doing the divine will here, by learning how to do the divine will, what happens? Do you see then with what food this most loving mother nourishes us, her children? It cost her her life. Again, it's costing us our life. We don't want the human reigning in us anymore. We want the divine to reign in us. With unspeakable pains, with the very life of her son, to prepare within her the abundant deposit of this food of my most holy divine will, and to keep it ready to nourish all her children as a tender and loving mother. Our Lady's doing this. And again, we're learning the divine will from her through Luisa. That's why the prodigies are so great. To read the prodigies, to read the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, you begin to understand how much the Blessed Mother loves us, how much she is our mother. She's not only the mother of Jesus, she's our mother. And that's the generosity of God. Jesus says, I want you to have my mother as your mother. That's what Jesus said to John on the cross. She could not love her children more by giving them this food, this bread of the divine will. Her love reaches the ultimate degree. Therefore, among the many titles that Our Lady has, the most beautiful title that could be given to the Blessed Mother is that of Mother and Queen of the Divine Will. Mother and Queen of the Divine Will. This is not yet known, but we can call her Mother and Queen because Jesus says this is the most beautiful title that you can give to your mother. Mary, Mother and Queen of the Most Holy Divine Will. Now, he says, my daughter, if my mama did this for the work of redemption, you, Luisa, must do it for the work of the Fia Voluntas Tua. So now we see what Our Lady did for redemption, God is now using a human for sanctification. Why? Why isn't it Our Lady's job? Because it had to be a human. Adam was a human. Adam was to give this to his children. And because Adam fell, it took the Son of God, the Mother of God, to come to earth to redeem mankind. Why? To begin again this abundant life that God originally planned for mankind. So he needed a human to do this. And this is Luisa. Who is this Luisa Picaretta? Who is she that God chose her to begin again with the second generation of the children of light? The first generation of the children of light began with Cain. Adam fell. The first generation of the children of light that should have been the children of light was gone because of Cain. The second generation of the children of light began with Luisa. She's the newborn. She's the firstborn. And when we link ourselves to Luisa, we can begin to live this abundant life. Your human will must have no life in you. That's what Jesus is saying to us as well. What you say in confession must end. It can't have life in you anymore. Yeah, again, your weaknesses, your human inadequacies all have to disappear. Why? The kingdom is coming. What God has planned is for us to be in his image and likeness, not in our image and likeness. He's really demanding an awful lot from us. Your human will must have no life in you, making all the acts of my divine will in each creature your own. So he says to Luisa, and he's saying to us, you must make all of the acts of my divine will in every human your own. Come, divine will, breathe in my breathing. I want to breathe in the name of every human being, past, present, and future. You breathe in me, Lord. Breathe the Ruah of God, the breath of God in me. I don't want to breathe anymore humanly. I don't want that fallen human nature anymore. I want you, Jesus, to breathe in my breathing. Beat in my heart beating. Walk in my walking. Dance in my dancing. Sing in my singing. He says very clearly. And then you shall deposit them into yourself. Come, divine will, reign in me in the name of every human being and repaying my divine will in the name of every person, past, present, and future. I want you, Lord, to breathe in me as you originally wanted, but I pray for all my brothers and sisters, past, present, and future. Okay? Repaying my divine will in the name of every human being, you, Luisa, shall form within you, Luisa, all the necessary food to nourish all human generations with the food of my most holy divine will. Adam was to give this food to all his children, and he failed. So now Jesus says, okay, I'm going to redeem mankind, and my mother's going to co-redeem with me. And then 2,000 years later, I'm going to have my newborn, Luisa. And I'm going to feed her with everything that is needed for mankind. Through her, you're going to receive all that is needed. As you would have received everything from Adam, now you're going to receive everything through this little newborn. So, again, who is this Luisa Picaretta? Who is she? Who is she that God has planned for her to feed us? I mean, this is just completely astonishing. completely astonishing. Let's see. You shall deposit them in yourself and repay in my divine will in the name of every human being. You, Louisa, shall form within you, Louisa, all the necessary food to nourish all human generations with the food of my most holy divine will. So we're going to receive, we're receiving from Louisa what Jesus breathed into her. As much as you want, or as little as you want, 30, 60, or 100 fold, whatever you want, you're going to get. After saying, every effect, every additional knowledge of the divine will shall be one more flavor that they, us, shall find in this food. So what Jesus is talking about, every saying, every word, every effect, every additional knowledge, every promise that Jesus gives shall be one more flavor that they shall find in this food, this divine food, this first bread, in such a way that they shall eat it with avidity. Everything I tell you about my holy divine will shall serve to whet their appetite. So as you read, again, as you read, you're becoming more and more hungry for this bread, this first bread of the divine will. So that they may take no other food at the cost of any sacrifice. Now you can understand why sacrifice is necessary. You're training yourself. You're training yourself. He wants us to take no other food but this first bread. Again, this first bread is God. You have the three breads. You have your daily bread, the third bread. You have the second bread, which is the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, which Jesus is with you for 15 minutes in a mystical way until the host dissolves. And then you have the first bread, which is a perennial communion with God. So God gives us the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, to get us ready for the perennial communion with God that'll never end. As Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening, that's what's going to happen with us. It'll never end. So he's saying, I'm going to feed you with this bread as you read, with every saying, every effect, every knowledge, every promise, so that you may take no other food. We're going to live the way Jesus and Mary lived on earth, with the food of the divine will, the first bread of the divine will, at the cost of any sacrifice. Now that's the fun part, because he's going to teach you when you give something up. I mean, like the priest said, by the time you're 80, you have given up everything. Each year you stop one of the things that you like. And why? It's to get ready for this great gift of the divine will at the cost of any sacrifice. So Jesus says to us, if a food were to say to be good, to restore strength, to heal the sick, to contain all flavors, even more to give life, beauty, and happiness, who would not make any sacrifice in order to take this food? So he's saying it's good, it restores strength, it heals the sick, it contains all flavors, it gives life, it gives beauty, it gives happiness. Like Jesus said, if that priest had continued to read, he would still be alive. You have to understand, this is not just a book. So it shall be for my most holy divine will. In order to make it to be loved and desired, the knowledge of the divine will is necessary. Therefore, be attentive. And for us, read and receive within you this deposit of my most holy divine will. So that as a second mother, you, Louisa, as a second mother, may prepare the food for our children. So now Jesus gives us Louisa as our little mama. He says, in doing so, you shall imitate my mother Mary, and it will cost you very much as well. But in the face of my most holy divine will, any sacrifice that seems, it shall seem like nothing to you. Be little, and that's what Father Bucci says, be little, be insignificant, and be hidden to live in the divine will. Be little, do not come down from my arms, and I shall continue to narrate to you the story of my most holy divine will. Now, again, this is almost halfway through the volumes. Jesus tells her this. He says very, very clearly, don't come down from my arms. And what does that mean for us? When we're reading, we're in the arms of Jesus with Louisa. You have to understand, this is not an ordinary book. It's not a novel. It's Jesus speaking to us, teaching us, guiding us, leading us, promising us miracles. Again, the main miracle is this first bread. I will narrate to you, I will continue to narrate to you the story of my most holy divine will. So we'll end there in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.